Amen.
Amen.
The Lord is awesome. We thank God. So what are we discussing? What's the topic? Hearing from God. Hearing from God. How many people have heard from God since we last discussed? You heard from God?
Yes.
That's good. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
You know, it's important to have a desire to hear from God. We discussed that. It's good to have a burning desire to hear from God. If we don't care to hear from God, we probably will not hear. And like we said the other day, sometimes people hear from God when they don't bother to hear from God, if God just wants to talk to them. And when God decides to talk to them, it could be for any purpose. It could be unto destruction, and it can be unto salvation. We looked at some ways that God talks to people. You remember? Somebody tell me one of the ways. Dreams. He appears in visions and he talks in dreams. And it appears as if that is what he does with most people. But with some people, how does he talk?
Mouth to mouth.
Mouth to mouth.
Face to face.
Face to face. Apparently, not in dark speeches. He's talking to them like I'm talking to you. And we said that when he talks through dreams, you may need an interpreter, or you may have to interpret it yourself. Because through the dream, he probably would talk more in times like parables, imageries that have to be translated into words of meaning. Hallelujah. So let us continue today with how God talks to people. We did not finish with dreams, so we will pick up with dreams. We want to lay some emphasis on dreams now, because that is the one that is relevant to most of us. Then after we're through with dreams, we will continue with the other things. Hallelujah. So dreams, where do dreams come from? What are the possible sources of dreams? What are the possible sources of dreams?
God.
God? We have just talked about God, talking to you through dreams. So God is one possible source. The devil must be one. Your mind. Okay, let's look in the scriptures now and pull some things out. For God, Numbers chapter 12 is good. Okay, we have read that in the past. Of course, you remember Matthew chapter 2, the wise men. God spoke to them in a dream, right? Okay, there are others, but we don't want to do an exhaustive listing just to give an idea. Father Jacob, you remember he had dreams, right? Joseph. Okay. But let us look at the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 5, verse 3. Ecclesiastes 5, 3. Somebody who can read loud.
For a dream cometh through the multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known by multitude of words.
Thank you. A dream comes by a multitude of business. And a fool's voice is known by a multitude of words. In other words, all day long you have engaged yourself in activities. When you sleep at night, you may dream of such activities. My friend was telling me about this mechanic who lived in their house in Ibadan in those days. He had some children who were working with him as mechanics, apprentices. He said at night, when they sleep, the children will be talking in the sleep. Oku gbeni oni ba muspana. You see? They'll be talking in their dream. One asking for a spanner, one asking for a screwdriver in the dream. That's what they have done all day long. The mind is filled with it. If you're somebody who loves to play soccer, when you sleep, you may have seen your children kicking the ball in there. Yes. You see, when they sleep, you may see this child just playing ball. Hey, pass, pass. You know, some of them will actually talk. They will speak out. They are back on the soccer field because it is an activity that they're very much engaged in. They begin to dream about it. They're just back where they love to be. So you can dream on the basis of your activities. Jeremiah 29:8. Somebody please read. Everybody is writing, nobody is reading.
For thus says the Lord of hosts.
Thus says the Lord of hosts.
The God of Israel.
The God of Israel.
Let not your prophet and the diviner that be in the midst of you deceive you, neither hearken to your dreams, which you cause to be dreamed.
Did you hear that? Don't obey your dreams, which you caused to be dreamed. You are dreaming of it the way that you want it. Praise the Lord. Your own thought becomes a dream. The thing that you want, you prefer, becomes a dream. Hallelujah. Isaiah 29:7-8. Isaiah 29:7-8. Isaiah 29:7-8.
And the multitude of all the nations that fight against Israel, even all that fight against us, and that shall be as far a dream of a night vision. It shall even be as when an hungry man dreameth, and behold, he liveth, but he awaketh and his soul repenteth. Or as when a dancing man dreameth, and behold, he waketh, but he awaketh, and behold, he is faint, and his soul has appetite. So shall the multitude of the nations be.
Now, let us take that so that you get what he's saying. He's talking about those who are fighting against Zion. But what we want to take is the dream aspect. He says it, there will be like a dream. As if a man is hungry and he dreams, he sees himself eating. Then when he wakes up, he realizes, boy, I'm still hungry. It was only a dream, not a reality. Or when a man is thirsty, like in the desert, and he dreams he sees water to drink, then he opens his eyes, and behold, it was just a dream. So the strong desire of your heart may translate into a dream. Your desire may be the source of your dream. Of course, we said Satan also, Deuteronomy 13:5, read from 1 to 5. If there arise
among you a prophet
or a dreamer,
and give thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or wonder come to pass, whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us have them. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet, or that dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God will help you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. You shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments.
Thank you. I think that is enough. If there is a prophet or a dreamer from among you, who comes to you with a prophecy or a dream, because you can receive a prophecy through a dream or a dream, and when you listen, what he is saying to you will lead you away from God. It is not from God. It is from the devil. Don't respect the prophet. Under the law, he must be stoned to death. We cannot kill them now. We can only pray for them. Praise the Lord. So you can have a dream from the devil. Yes. Let's see what we have in Jeremiah 27, 9 to 10. So people here can open the Bible much faster. Sorry, please read in English and then those who have Yoruba may follow. Okay. Again, false prophets, false dreamers. Don't listen to them. They're not of the Lord. They're of the devil. Another possible source is your heart. Your heart. Jeremiah 23, 16 to 17. 16 to 17.
Thus said the Lord of hosts.
Yes.
Hearken not unto the word of the prophet that prophesied unto you, that make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart, and not out of the mouth of the Lord.
Yes. They speak a vision of their own heart, and not from the mouth of the Lord.
They say still unto them that despise him, the Lord hath said, ye shall have peace. And they say unto everyone that walketh after their imagination of his own heart, no evil shall come.
Do you see that? Haven't you seen such prophets around us today? They prophesy good to people who are evil. God says, I'm not the one who sent them. They are prophesying from their hearts. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Now, having looked at some of the possible sources of dreams, let us look at how we can ask God to speak to us through a dream, since that is what he uses for most people. When I was talking about Nebuchadnezzar's dream the other day, I said that we would come back and learn something from that pagan, something to help us in our relationship with God and how to hear God. So let us open to the book of Daniel chapter 2. And somebody read verses 26 to 29. Please read loud.
The king answered and said to Daniel, whose name was Belshazzar, unto me a dream. Art thou able to make known unto me the dream which I have seen, and the interpretation thereof? Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, the secret which the king has demanded among the wise men, the astrologer and the magician and the soothsayer, show unto the king. For there is a God in heaven that revealeth it and maketh known to the king. Nebuchadnezzar, what shall be in the latter days, the dream and the vision of that head upon thy bed are his?
Yes.
As for thee, O king, thy thought came into thy mind upon thy bed. What should come to pass hereafter? And he that the inner secret maketh known to thee, what shall come to pass? But as for me.
Thank you. I think that is fine. So that last verse, what does it say? The last verse, 29. One person.
As for me, O king,
Yes.
Thy thoughts came to thy mind.
The thoughts came to your mind.
On thy bed.
On your bed.
What will come to pass hereafter?
Ask him, what will happen hereafter?
And he that will bless thee.
Yes.
Make it known to thee.
Who is he that revealeth secrets? God. The pagan laid on his bed and said, what will happen after me? Then God revealed to him. Now if he did that with a pagan, how much more will he do with his children? I said we were going to learn a lesson from the pagan. And since the Holy Spirit pointed this to me, I have done it several times. Several times. I want to know about something. I lay on my bed. I ask the Lord. I have my dream. I interpret it if I need to interpret it. It's wonderful. It's there. That's what it says, right? On your bed, you laid, you thought, asking the question, and then God gave you the answer. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You see, some years ago, I'll just give you maybe one example. I might give you more than one, but one example to start with. Some years ago, 1987, I think, I had said to the Lord that I wanted to spend my annual leave in the United States. I came back in 82. I had not gone back until that year. I wanted to go back to the United States to spend my annual leave. And of course, God was preparing me for that trip. God is so beautiful. I said it, and he said, fine, my son. So he wanted to make sure that I would go. But along the year, I would sleep. And I would see myself at the airport. Now, this one I didn't ask for. God was just trying to tell me something. I would see myself at the airport, and I would say, oh, my passport. As if I forgot my passport. That happened about three times. Then I told my wife. I said, the Lord is certainly telling me to go and put my passport in order. Because I did not return home with a passport. My passport got lost in the United States. And I came home with a travel certificate, a letter from the Nigerian consulate. You follow my point? So I started to make arrangement. That was about April. I started to make arrangement to get another passport. Between April and August, would you believe? I didn't get a passport. You know Nigeria, then, today you can get it in one day. Glory to God. There was a friend of mine who goes to Abuja on business frequently. I sent the papers through him. Then when it was getting to time for my leave, the man said, maybe you should go yourself and see to it. I said, yes, I have to. So we arranged for me to go. I'd never been to Abuja. He told me how to get to Abuja, go to Maraba very early in the morning, take a vehicle to Suleja, bam, 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 all information. He gave me the address of somebody there that I could stay with if I had to stay overnight, and I made every arrangement to go. The night before I would go, I was ready to sleep. Then I told my wife, I said, look, I have made every arrangement to go to Abuja. I didn't even ask the Lord if I should go, if I should not go. So that night, I laid on my bed. Lord, do I go to Abuja or do I not go? Do I go by public transport or do I drive? Do you follow my point? I didn't have a car that could get to Abuja, but I still asked anyway. So I slept and I had a dream. And when I woke up, I said, no, I should go, but I should go with the vehicle. That was the interpretation. Do you follow my point? So I told my wife, I'm not going this morning. I will arrange to have a car to take to Abuja. So I called my brother-in-law in Oshogbo. I said, I want to go to Abuja. Could you send me a car? Then he sent me a car with a driver. Then the next day, out to Abuja. Now, you listen. This is why it is good to hear God. I got to Abuja. At first, it looked easy. But later, they discovered that my original passport was missing. So they said, no, no, no. We cannot do it today. Every case of a missing passport must go to the SSS for clearance. At that time, I think it was NSO. You follow my point? For clearance. And the clearance would take about 2 weeks. I said, I'm ready to travel. When do you want to travel? This Saturday, impossible. To me it was, why did God tell me to come here to hear that? The secretary to the chief passport control officer, well, you know these kind of secretaries that are very mean, you know? The man that spoke to me, I said, I want to talk to the chief passport control officer. Well, actually, the man said, the only one who can help you out is the chief passport control officer. He said, but if you go there, don't mention my name. Then I said, okay. So I went to the secretary, to the chief. I want to see the chief. Said, you cannot see the chief. But thank God, we talk to God every day. So you cannot see him. Go to whatever office. I said, no, I said, I have a special problem. He said, Mr., there are no special problems here. Everybody comes here for a passport. I just left her alone. I went back out. The man that I was told to stay with, he was a customs man. I went to him. Then he gave me a note to the chief passport control officer. Then I gave the note to the secretary. So she now took the note and went to the chief. Then the chief said, come in. Then I went in. God makes a way. There's nothing. Look, the Red Sea was a hindrance. The Red Sea was a no way. Do you follow my point? But God made a way through the Red Sea. When they got to the Jordan was a no way. The Bible said, not only was it the Jordan, it was flooded. Do you follow my point? God made a way. So I sat before the chief. I told him my story. He said, your file must go for clearance. Every case of a lost passport. I said, but I have to travel on Saturday. I think this was Thursday. Then he said, okay, go to room, I think it was room 38. That's one allergy to you. Go and call him. So I went there. So this man, Dr. Okala, you are from Ilani. Do you know Dr. Ladele? We are in the same department. We talked and we talked. Then he got up and followed me to the chief. Called one other allergy, three allergies God used that day. You are looking for Christians to help you. May they help you. But look for God to help you.
Yes.
It is God who determines who does what for you. He is God. He is sovereign. He can use anybody. Lord, please send me good Christians today. Send me help. Help from on high. You know? Three allergies. So they sat down. The chief was Alhaji Hassan. Alhaji Toye and one, I don't remember the name of the other one. What can we do? Then they looked at it, they said, well, they advised the chief. He wanted them to advise him. Then they advised, okay, why don't you give him an emergency passport? He goes and comes back. Then he comes to apply for the real passport. Then he said, okay, but first let us send the file and see what happens. So they said, come back tomorrow, Friday. After Friday, I must be going back to Ilori. Okay, I came in the morning. I sat at the secretary's office. They talked and talked. They got the files together. Then the man who would take the files to the NSO came to me and said, you are the owner of this file. I want to go to the NSO office now. We don't have a vehicle. Are you with a car? Give Jesus a clap offering. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look. There is no other God. Jesus said of the Holy Spirit, he shall tell you of things to come. I needed a car. They needed my car to get my job done. Then I said, thank God. Yes, I have a car. So I drove him to the NSO place outside of the Abuja General Secretary, anybody who knows the place. I drove him down to their office. We dropped the files. So the man said, okay, by 12 noon, you come back and pick me. Then we'll come and see if they have cleared your file. Then I said, okay. So I just drove to town, walked around when it was going to 12. Then I drove back to the passport office. As I was going upstairs, I met the young man coming. Oh, Dr. Keller, congratulations. Your file is here. They are writing your passport. I got my passport that day. Full passport. Glory. Hallelujah.
Amen.
See, it is good to hear God. It is good to acknowledge him so that he will direct your way, your path, your steps. Do you follow my point? If you leave him out, he'll be looking at you. My Lord. You know, you are wise enough, eh? The Lord is beautiful. He's beautiful. So when you lay on your bed, ask God, See, the reason is that you dream when you are sleeping. You don't want to dream when you are walking. Do you follow my point? Okay. You see, since you want to have a dream, it is when you lay on your bed that you ask. The last thing that comes is the question. The thing that you are asking God about, and he tells you. A lot of times I have asked the Lord about Nigeria. Lord, what happens now in Nigeria? If you had read my book, The Apocalypse, you will see there things that the Lord gave, which have happened. Some are going on now. Whether you call it the Dikudi or whatever. Whatever is going on now. Do you follow my point? I will ask and the Lord will show me. Sometimes I don't ask and he shows me. Do you follow my point? See, the point is this, that it is beautiful to hear from God. The coup that happened when Babangida was still in Lagos before he quickly moved, the Oka coup. The night that it was going on, I was in Ibadan, Saturday night into Sunday. And Sunday morning, I must return early to Ilorin to church. As the coup was going on in Lagos, I was seeing it in a revelation that night. But I didn't know what it was. I knew something happened to Nigeria. Green, white, green. Explosion. Bamba, don't worry. I don't want to waste time on that. You know? But we got to Oshogbo early in the morning on the way here. When my brother Alan said, "Hey, Emayo, everybody rejoice. Babangida is gone." And my wife said, and this boy is a clown. My wife said, "Odeni, you have come again." You know? And he said, Oh, Lord. Okay. So I told my wife, I said, "The Lord was revealing this to me overnight. I said, if Babangida is indeed dead, the one who will replace him will be just like him from the revelation." And the moment I told my wife, she just went, "Oh." You remember what happened? Babangida disappeared for about 2 days. Then he came back. You remember? It was just himself. No, that was Abiola. The coup. He just disappeared. Nobody heard about him for about 2 days. And then he reappeared and made a broadcast. And I said, "I told you, he replaced himself." Praise the Lord. The Lord is good. Let's go on anyway. So, you want to have a dream, that is what to do. Otherwise, God himself will just speak to you in a dream. Now, one thing which is important, keep a note by your pillow, a notebook. Keep a notebook by your pillow and put a pen there permanently. As soon as you have the dream and you open your eyes, in the middle of the night, pick up your notebook and write it down. In the book of Daniel, it said Daniel had a vision and he wrote it down and then he told the sum. Write it down, then relax to interpret. Write it down. Somebody read from Job 20 verse 8.
"He shall fly away as he dreams, and shall not be found. Yea, he shall be
Yes. You see that dreams do fly away. A vision of the night may fly away. Sometimes even while you are writing, you can feel some things trying to fade away. Do you follow my point?
Yes.
So write them down quickly. And what should you write down? We're going to take an example later on. You will see how people report their dreams. Every detail that you can remember may be very important in the interpretation of the dream. If you saw two men and one of them was tall and one was short, do you follow my point? You have to record it like that. Don't just say that you saw two men. Say that you saw one tall man and one short man. If in the dream you observe that one was lighter in complexion than the other, put it there. Every detail that you can remember, put it there in your note. It may have some significance when you begin to interpret. Hallelujah. What about the interpretation of the dream itself? The interpretation of the dream. How do you interpret dreams? The Holy Spirit. Remember Daniel said to Nebuchadnezzar that God reveals secrets and he will give the interpretation. You follow my point? So God revealed the dream and gave the interpretation. Joseph told the Pharaoh. Do you follow my point? So give the glory to God. The wisdom to interpret comes from the Holy Spirit. Even visions, when you see visions, you don't necessarily know what the vision is saying. You may have to interpret visions. Do you know that? Yes. You may have to interpret visions. It's not all the time that a vision is so clear that you don't need interpretation. Now, one thing that you may do by scripture is this. When you have a dream, if you are familiar with the Word of God, you can sort out some aspects of that dream. If something had certain colors, you can look in the Bible. How is this color applied in the Bible? Do you follow my point? What does it mean? For example, scarlet is used in the Bible for royalty. Do you follow my point? Okay. But crimson is used, though your what? Sins be as crimson. See, when you identify such things, you can look in the scriptures and see how you tie them together for meaning. Are you following me? Okay. Somebody called me yesterday. There was a vision that somebody saw. And he was telling me, they had prayed about it. Somebody sitting here saw a vision and wrote and told the pastor. And the pastor called me and said, please pray along with us, interpretation. When he was telling me over the phone, it wasn't really clear. I had too many questions to ask. Because if you're going to interpret, you must know the details. You must know exactly. So I went to his house. He gave me the paper. I read the paper and I told him. I said, now it comes clear. You follow my point. Somebody saw the congregation and saw two women in white, spirits, as it were, and speaking in tongues. And she pleaded the blood of Jesus. And then after she pleaded the blood of Jesus, she saw some men as they were spirits in shining white robes. Do you follow my point? And so on and so forth. Let me not spend too much time on that. But the first thing I told my friend, the pastor, was to say, the women in white were not angels. If you look in your Bible, angels never appeared as women. That was occultic. The men in white, shining white, were angels. Do you follow my point? But the women were not. Because the Bible doesn't present angels as women. There's nothing wrong with you women. It's just in the spirit. That's okay. And then we went on and on to interpret the rest of it. There were others too in pink robe. I guess, Abby? There were others in pink robe. And I told him, pure linen is the garment of the saints. Linen means white. So if the robe is pink, something is not enough. Do you follow my point? Yes. See, this is being interpreted from scripture. Okay. But there are many other things where the Holy Spirit has to just give you. You need that inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And you will be able to interpret. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Now, did we talk about the direct dream? That your dream may be direct. It may not need any interpretation. You can have a dream that is direct. Like the wise men in the book of Matthew. The dream was direct. They understood the message straight. And they obeyed. Now let us look at some aspects of interpretation. Some other aspects of interpretation. You remember the dreams that Joseph had. His own dreams. Somebody tell me one of them. Yes? It's not complete.
He said he saw seven sheep.
Well, this one first. Let us complete this one. She said that he saw the sun and the moon bowing to him. I said it is not complete. How many stars? You see, I just told you, the detail must be entered in. If you don't enter the detail, your interpretation is wrong or short. So the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars. What was the meaning of that? Yes? So the father, the mother, and the 11 brothers. So see, interpretation is nothing direct. So the sun is the father, the moon is the mother. And then the other 11 stars were the siblings. So the other one. Yes?
He saw 11 things stand. His own stand, then the others are listening.
Were falling before that one. Now the same brothers are the sheaves. Do you follow my point? In one, they were stars. In the other one, they were sheaves. Bowing to him. You see interpretation. Now, it doesn't follow that one symbolism will always represent a particular thing. It could be anything. We will see another one. Remember the dream of the Pharaoh. The Pharaoh in Egypt. The one that Joseph interpreted for him. Somebody tell me the dreams. The dreams of the Pharaoh. Seven cows. Fat.
Seven
cows that were, do you see description? Do you see detail? Detail. Seven cows that were lean. Then what happened?
They hit the
Uh-huh.
Then he saw other.
It is not over yet. They lean. He didn't say that they ate them. He said they swallowed them. They swallowed them. But they remained lean. It has to be complete. It has to be full. What is the other one? The other dream? Yes? No? The Pharaoh. Not wheat. Seven?
Yes.
No, I'm not asking for interpretation. I'm asking for the other dream. You have told me about the cows. What is the other one? These things you knew from primary school. Uh-huh. What is wrong? What is wrong with corn? You see? You can't tell me those dreams. Yes. That is interpretation. I want the other dream first. Seven. Well, okay, 7 ears of corn. Well favored. Good looking. And seven of them.
Lean.
Uh-huh.
Lean ones.
Did he say lean?
Thin.
Uh-huh.
The 17 ones followed up.
Not great. It's not finished. But he still described them in a way. Blasted with the east wind. Blasted with the east wind. Do you follow my point? Detail. If you were in the seminary, they will expect you to say these things just like I am saying.
Verse 6.
Beg your pardon.
Genesis 41.
Yes.
Verse 6. That's
yes. Blasted with the east wind. To let you know how bad they were. So what were the interpretations? Interpretations?
7 years.
Okay. Which one corresponded to the plenty? So seven fat cows were 7 years. One cow is 1 year. What I'm trying to show to you is what you call interpretation. A cow is 1 year. Two cows, 2 years. Seven cows, 7 years. And then in the second one, one good ear of corn, well, good or bad, 1 year. Do you see? In one case, 1 year was one cow. In another case, 1 year was 1 ear of corn. But that is interpretation. Praise the Lord. So, after Joseph had finished with the interpretation, he now told the Pharaoh something. Before that one, why was it important to say that he should store food? Because there will be plenty, there will be the serious famine. And during the 7 years of famine, all of the food of the years that were plentiful will be done away with and will not be sufficient. And he said, it will surely happen. Why? He explained. Why? Because two dreams. Now, yes.
Dreams were twice, not only one.
Good. You see, when you study the Bible, pay attention to details. Joseph told the Pharaoh, he said, because the dream, the revelation, was doubled to you twice in one night, it means that the matter is established. Adwauli change. You have to do something to survive. He didn't even tell the Pharaoh to pray to God. Go and read. He just told the Pharaoh, store food. Do something to survive it. It will work better than prayer. Because God has determined it. It will happen. Because the revelation was doubled to you twice in one night. So if you sleep, you have that dream twice in one night. He said doubled to you twice. Huh? Twice in one night. With different imagery. Remember, one was about cows, one was about corn. Different imagery. But both of them interpret to the same thing. It will surely happen. It will surely happen. Yes, please.
Someone of if they pray comes twice, not the same night, in the same week, it comes twice, and something will show to you.
It doesn't pass this test. It has to be revealed to you, same night or same day, twice, different patterns, both must mean the same thing. Both must mean the same thing.
Because in case maybe what I'm asking is, maybe yeah. It is shown twice. But in the same week.
No, I understood you.
So it come to pass or
it may not. Right. That is already separated by time. Let me give you an example. Some years ago, we were still at the GRA chapter. We had not split. After the Bible teaching at Quara Hotel, a lady came to me who was a member and said, please, I want you to come and pray for this lady. The lady was sick. She had cancer. Her husband had died some time before that, not too long before that. So myself and Professor Adeniyi went with her to this lady's house. We sat in the living room and then they went inside and called her. When she came out, you would feel woo. As soon as she came out of the bedroom, the lady who took us there quickly took one chair and gave to her so that she would sit, and she sat. So we ministered to her. And the hand of the Lord came upon her. And she got slain in the spirit. And we left her and we just worshiped the Lord. And finally she opened her eyes, looked around her. At the time that she was lying on the floor, a couple came into the house with one child, a son. They also stood there. When the lady got up, The lady who gave her the chair the other time quickly carried the chair and brought it to her again, and then she did like this. And she did like this. She didn't say a word. Then she went to that boy and she grabbed the boy by the armpits and lifted him up. And everybody just worshiped the Lord. We just blessed the Lord. We just blessed the Lord. It was wonderful. I got home, thanked God, and I slept. And the Lord showed her to me on the bed. And she was covered up with a bed sheet. And I opened my eyes and I said, Lord, but you healed her. Lord, no. Saying that, I fell asleep again. And I saw her again on the bed. And she folded her knees. You know, like you lie down, you fold your knees up, both legs. She folded her knees like that. And she was covered up. And I knew that she was going to go. Twice, one night. Two separate patterns. Both meant the same thing. But we continued to visit her and to minister to her. Look, I don't see, God does something. God is wonderful. I have argued with God a number of times. It is useless arguing with God. God is perfect. God loves them more than we love them. When God decides, this is what happens. Have thine own way. This lady, her abdomen was hard. What you call fibrosis. You couldn't press. Hard. We ministered to her. Instantly. Everything went soft. She couldn't believe it. She said, see what God has done for me. See, you know, that kind of thing. But I knew what the Lord had told me. Of course, what the other revelation meant when she folded her leg was to say she would travel abroad. You know, when an airplane takes off, folds its wheels inside, I understood that she would fly abroad and from there she would pass on. That was what happened. She told me they had approved her medical whatever overseas from her employers, and she will now just go and rest. Do you follow my point? That since the Lord had healed her, she would just go and rest. In fact, she had started to go to the market. Yet somebody was telling me that, oh, this lady, they said she is well, that some people saw her at the market. Then I was explaining that, yes, the Lord really touched her. We ministered to her, and so on and so forth. So she went overseas, and she passed on. When she was there. That was God. He glorified himself anyway. You follow my point? You see, the point is that God's miracles are miracles. Even if you die after, the miracle is still a miracle. What God does sometimes is to let you have a heart of gratitude before he takes you away. Do you follow my point? Yes. God is so beautiful. He's so beautiful. So that was an example. Do you follow me? So when it happens that way, if you can do something about it, do it. If it's something that you cannot do anything about, God be praised. Yes.
So according to what Abad just said, some years before my mother died,
yes,
I dreamt it twice. I was in Abuja.
Okay.
I dreamt it three times that I lost my mother. It was the last time I woke up and fasted and I prayed. I thought, because when she nearly came to me that year, because that was when I became a Christian, so my father had some time, so I couldn't travel home that year.
Yeah.
How she got to me, I don't know, because I only gave her my postal address. But she, in fact, she located me at Abuja, and I was surprised. When they were telling me that my mother was outside for me, I said, I never met my mother. So when I go there, it's where it's her. When I say God, I dreamt that I was towards the end of 1985.
Okay.
Towards the end of this thing, that year. So January 1996, she came to me. I said, God, there's no sign of sickness in her. So she left. She said, well, she went to go and see my senior, and the one I'm calling, and the one that is after me.
Yeah.
So she left. When she left there, the second week she left, then she said she just sit for 3 days and see. So when I sat down, I said, Lord, I thought I've said too late that she will not die. So now we're not talking about dreams. So there are some things that when I dream, when I tell somebody, they will tell me that you have to pray hard.
Yeah.
That will be one or two things. So now when they are saying it has to be maybe in the same, night or this thing, does that mean that if God reveals something, is it avertible or it's not avertible?
Well, some of them are, some of them are not.
Either good or so what I'm saying to you is that, does it mean that the people of the world, that means that is the evil power, do they have the strength
to avert God's plan? No.
So why I'm asking that question is that, sir,
yes,
because there's some time when you look at what is happening and what God has shown you that this is where you are going.
Yeah.
How is the day you swear that the thing is not balancing? So like recently, because...
No, well, did he give you the date that you will arrive there?
No, sir.
Okay. So you cannot conclude that you are not going there. When he took the children of Israel from Egypt to take them to the land of Canaan, how many times did they go round and round before they got to the land of Canaan? Did he just take them straight into the land? No. You see, the fact, if he told you for sure, he will take you there. You are the only one who can prevent him. No other person can. Yes.
Yes, I just want to say something about this, having two dreams but two separate times.
Okay.
When we're talking about dreams, the sources of dreams, I think I remember we talked about your mind, the activities of the day. Dreams can come from God and it can also come from Satan. There was a day I was discussing with my wife on the mission field. The house where we're living, when it rains, you come out of our room, you just step inside water. The whole place is water area. So, and then, so I remember the time that we were very young and in my father's house. And I was telling my wife, I said, this Baba, my father, I said, he's just too good a man to die and go to hell. I was saying that he's an allergic. And in fact, there's no possibility of his combating. I saw it was very, very difficult for him to combat. So I was talking to my wife and I was saying, this man should not die an unbeliever because he has done so many good things and so on. So that night, I slept and I saw that my father died and they brought him in a coffin. Usually Muslims do not bury people with coffins. They will bury with the
cloth.
That's the cloth. So they brought him in a coffin and put him in the ground and covered him up. I said, no, this is not Islamic law. They are not supposed to bury him with a coffin. So when I woke up, it was so real, the dream was so real. I was telling my wife, I said, I dreamt that my father had died. But I don't think that the way they buried him, he will not die now and they will bury him like that. I told my wife that I had a very strong suspicion that this man would die as a Christian. That was what I told her. Then about a month later, I dreamt again. He died. The second time, and this time he was not buried. They just died and everybody knew that he died, but they didn't show me how he was buried. So I woke up and I prayed. But when we came back from the field, one of the places I first rushed to was our hometown. I went to see my father. But about some four or five weeks ago, I gave the testimony here. The Lord, on a Sunday, the Lord just said, go to your hometown. And I got home. I was in about 5 UMC churches. Anybody who has been to Betty will know. Big churches. And I could not stay in a particular one. I would stay here somewhere and move. So eventually I went home. And after talking with my father for just 10 minutes, my father said, okay, how do you accept Jesus? I led him to Christ. And he said that after we finished the prayer, I said, now I know that if I die, I will go to Jesus. And he said that.
Beautiful.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So, and now, in fact, inside me I was saying, Baba, if you want to take this man now, you can take him.
Of course. Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So, you see, sometimes when the dream comes, it's not that, you know, the first dream that came, it was after we talked about this man that the dream came. And I was so sad. How can this man die like this? After we have talked everything, we prayed for him. So sometimes the devil wanted to tell me that prayer, that he will be converted before he died, that it will not be answered, that it's not possible. But you see, God...
No, your dream confirmed your dream confirmed what you prayed for.
Yes.
That was not the devil.
The second dream.
He died.
He died.
You didn't see him buried or anything.
He was buried. You know...
That one is very much a lie.
Yeah.
Now with Christianity.
Yeah. Because died, then they bury them.
The very fact that we didn't see him being buried.
Do you follow me?
Going on.
Right. Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I'm saying. You see, he died, but you didn't see him. You didn't see him being buried, right? Yeah, Muslims don't wait as such. They bury immediately. Okay. Okay. But
I was in Okene when my mother died. Just the radio told the local government that your mother passed. I said, okay, I'm coming. I left the government vehicle. Before I got home, they are buried and they finished everything.
Yeah.
They didn't wait for
us. Yeah. That's what the Muslims do. As soon as you die, they bury you. We should be stopping here for today.
Last month, you said when something was written on the wall that is very bad. But
we're not hearing you though.
He cannot read, he cannot write. But every time, it's only on the words that he could see the word of God and he could meditate on it.
No. See, what I was saying was different.
Okay.
See, the hand, what he was reading was a message that God was giving him. You follow my point? To give other people or whatever, or to minister to him. What Belshazzar was given was a message of doom for him. God, he couldn't interpret it. This prophet could interpret what he was seeing. My sister, when she would prophesy, she would see it and read it in front. Do you sometimes say, thus says the Lord, so she reads it in front to the congregation. That is not the handwriting on the wall. The handwriting on the wall is the message of doom. I said people use it from the days of Belshazzar. People have used that terminology to mean a message of doom. God didn't say that any time that he writes. It is people who use the terminology as a message of doom. Okay. Well, any other question? By the grace of God, next on Thursday we'll continue. Amen.
Amen.
Let's give Jesus a clap offering. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.